Encyclopedia Britannica, and at Harold Prince there is a Harold Prince is the supreme Broadway showman. So it is you. It's unbelievable that you are here.
Well, I'm one of the oldest ones.
Harold, how did you begin? How started you?
I started out very young. I was very ambitious. I came from a business family. My father was in stock exchange, and my mother was a housewife, and we were well fixed, and I wasn't interested in money. I still am not. I was interested I was a snob. I wanted to be an artist, and so I got a job in the office of the most successful director, playwright, producer in America, George Abbott.
George Abbott,
and he took me on because I was sort of weird. I was 19 when I got out of college, and I went to work for him at just 20, and I did anything and everything. And ambition came out of me like energy, and he liked it. He laughed at it. So he taught me and encouraged me, and he did what needs to be done for every young man. He said to me, "You are a director. You are right. Be a director."
Fantastic.
And when someone you respect tells you you have the right goals, that's what you need.
That's the driving force.
Frightened
yes,
young
absolutely.
Person.
That's the encouragement.
So,
what, yeah.
So I did. And then he helped me. And he didn't need a director. He was the most popular director. So
but
I
he
thought,
was
what,
quite a long lasting relation as far as I remember.
He was. He died at 107 about 8 years ago.
Fantastic.
He got married for the third time at 93. He had his last success on Broadway at 94.
94.
Now I'm 77. And thanks to him, I figure I have till 107 at least. So keep going. He never retired. And he let me produce. I thought he is a producer. I know he doesn't like it. Nobody who wants to be a director or a playwright wants to worry about all that. So I said, why don't you let me and my partner, who was another assistant of his, be your producers? And he thought, what a good idea. It'll be done the way I want it, but I won't have to do it. And we did. And so my first show was a huge success, called The Pajama Game.
The Pajama Game, yes.
And I was
yes.
25.
Wow.
And then the next year we did Damn Yankees, and the next year we did New Girl, the next year we did West Side Story, and the
so
next
West Side
year
Story
we
followed so fast.
Right away. By the time I was 29, we had done 4 musicals, all successful. And then I thought, oh, this is the way it's going to be.
And
but
then
it isn't.
Thank you. will land like a trumpet on the ear, as if to say, here lives a wealthy man. If I were a rich man, all day long I'd bump. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. If I were a pretty, pretty rich,
came a few flops, or?
And then you start to have flops, and it just stuns you. In fact, my partner, who was 25 years older than I, had been chief stage manager for Alan. He had a heart attack and died. The whole stress of it killed him.
I see.
And so then I was on my own, and I was 32 or something, and I thought, oh God, now what? And I picked myself up at because he had died, I always knew that I could not direct while he was my partner.
I see.
Because he had the wrong impression that he could direct. But we were so close, I didn't want to face it. Yeah. The minute he died, I directed my first musical.
What which was Tenderloin, or?
No, that's later. The Tenderloin was the flop that
that
killed him, I'm afraid.
Oh, I see, so that was the...
But I did, there was a show closing in Philadelphia with all stars, a huge cast of theater, Broadway theater stars. Eileen Heckert, who became a movie star. Morris Karnofsky, great artist from the Yiddish theater, and a great, they were all in it, and it was disaster. So they had asked Abbott and everyone, Jerome Robbins, anyone you could think of, to come and help them out, and everyone said no. So the producers heard about that I wanted to be a director, and they said, would you come and look at it?
Young lad, come over here.
Come to Philadelphia and see. And I came to Philadelphia with enough clothes for one night, and I stayed 2 weeks, and we came to Broadway. And I put my name on it, and I had fixed it enough that the word had circulated. He took this show in 2 weeks and made it okay. Not a big hit, but okay. So I did it. Once the word was out, I was offered a Hungarian project.
Wow.
A play of Miklos Laszlo, or you say Laszlo Miklos,
yes,
called Parfumery.
Yes.
Do they still do Parfumery?
Every now and then.
It's a charming play. It was made into a hugely successful musical by Ernst Lubitsch called The Little Shop Around the Corner.
Yes.
Where they sold perfume. And I, Jerry Bach and Sheldon Harnick, Bach and Harnick, who wrote Anatevka, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes.
Wrote She Loves Me and asked me whether I'd be interested. And I directed it. And it was my first for Broadway.
And anyway, you came to see the set in Hungary?
I did afterwards.
Afterwards.
I didn't get to Hungary until after I'd done the musical. But the musical was such a succès d'estime that I was asked to make a movie of it. It would have made a beautiful romantic movie. And I said yes, and they said, because we would have made it here in the streets and in the Café Hungaria for very little money. And I said, I want to star this girl, Barbara Streisand. And they said, we never heard of her. I said, you will. And I said, she's well known in New York. She sings in clubs. She would be brilliant. And they refused. We didn't get the money, and I didn't make the movie.
For such an unknown name.
And 2 years later was Funny Girl.
Fantastic.
So she was an international star less than two years later.
Listen, how did you put together West Side Story? As far as I remember, you were the producer of
I was the producer with my partner, Bobby Griffith, the one who died later on. I Stephen Sondheim and I have been best friends since I was 20 and he was 18.
Uh-huh.
And when I was married, he was our best man. And I knew how talented he was, and so did my wife. But there was great, great resistance to him. Too intelligent, the lyrics, too cerebral and yeah. complicated, and the music. He's a trained composer. He studied with Milton Babbitt, one yeah. of the great modern composers. What is that on Broadway? Now, of course, he's the king. But we had a lot of trouble. He said, "I'm working on this thing with Leni Bernstein."
Yes.
And then it had been Comden and Green, oddly enough. And then they left, and Steve came in with Arthur Lawrence, the playwright.
So in other words, it was a revolutionary.
It was very revolutionary, and nobody wanted. They had a producer. First of all, Sondheim, being my friend, said, "I've just lost my production."
Uh huh.
And I was working on a production with Bob Fosse and yeah. Gwen Verdon called New Girl in Town, and my play was in real trouble. We made it. It became a success, but it was never as good as I think it should be. But while this was happening, they had run out, so I said, "All right, let's think about it." And so the day after the one musical opened on Broadway, we went to work on West Side Story. And we put it on in 6 weeks, only 6 weeks delay from the original production. Scenery, costumes, casting, everything. And I knew standing in the back of the theaters, we opened in Washington, a huge success right away. What was amazing was to stand in the back of the theater and know that you were a small, small part of something that you would know about for the rest of your life. And the reviews were so-so. We won no awards at the end of the season. The show did okay. It paid back its investment. But it was not a big financial success. The big financial success was The Music Man.
Yeah.
And all the while, I thought, with all respect for The Music Man, I will live and hear about West Side Story
yeah.
all of my life. And of course, I've seen it in Tokyo. I've seen it in everywhere.
Yeah.
But it took time to catch on and. It seemed too avant-garde for a very short time.
But and Harold, you have been famous for the new ideas. That's your main characteristic, that you are looking for new ideas all the time.
I'm bored by popular entertainment. I get bored very easily.
And for instance, there was almost a legend that when you directed or redirected The Showboat. It's a brand
new.
Yeah, of course.
Good.
Yes. So you are really very, very famous for that ability, a rare ability. Could you tell us something about the present Broadway and the old Broadway?
Oh,
is there a difference between
the present Broadway is like it's incidentally having the best summer I ever remember, but that's not an artistic. Assessment. It's
financial,
a financial assessment. People are going to theater. They're different people. It all connects up. It's the same in films.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. Money, the wealth of the world is in different hands.
Yeah.
And it's most dramatic in my own country. The people who can afford the price of the ticket are it's new money.
Yeah.
They didn't have money before. And they don't have in their minds going to theater as a sense of occasion. You know how celebratory life in Budapest.
Yeah.
People, we went to Gundel's, everyone was in jackets and ties. And dress for an occasion.
Yes.
I passed the opera house where they were doing Traviata last night. The people who were going in were dressed to go to an opera. It's a sense of occasion. There's very little of that left
in the United States.
Yeah, that's also
very, very little. Yeah. And one of the big problems about getting older, you will find out, is every time you say something referring to before, you're just a disagreeable old man who says things were better then. And you know you can't avoid the trap, because I preferred when people said we are going to theater.
Yes.
And the footlights came on and they lisped, the quiet came over the house. And the most exciting moment in your life is when the curtain goes up for the first time. Now the contemporary theater, most of it in our country, I don't know about yours, most of it, there's no curtain.
Yes.
You come in and you sit down and there's no curtain. And I keep saying, doesn't anybody realize the curtain is part of the experience? You want first to get adjusted to your seat and the people around you. You don't want already
Indeed.
To be looking at something that is not lighted properly and that is there. What is the purpose? But that's the way it is now.
Yes, I do agree.
You see, what's interesting is, and no one ever knows this, Thoroughly Modern Millie, I don't know, but I would think it hasn't done that much compared with the original Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, yeah,
or
that's right.
Cabaret.
Indeed, so that's
or
what
any
I
of
mean.
Those. It's a misguided. We have many more revivals now.
Indeed.
Because everyone thinks, well, that was a successful musical
Let's
in 1960,
speak it again.
So it will be again. But you know what? It isn't.
Sweeney Todd. He served a dark and avengeful god. What happened then? Well, that's the play, and he wouldn't want us to give it away. Not Sweeney. Not Sweeney Todd. The demon of Barbara Fleet Street.
They don't think it through. They would be so much better off trying something dangerous. I can't change my spots because why would I? So I'm working on musicals, and they seem, when you just throw them out to some of the people who put up the money, why are you doing that? And the answer is, I'm doing it because I want to, and you know, and because I'm privileged. If I want to get something done, I can get it done still.
Yeah,
but you know, I read a book of interviews with Fellini, whom
yes.
I knew a little in the last years of his life. He couldn't get anybody to finance his work, and it was heartbreaking.
Yeah,
and you know, that could happen to me, but it hasn't happened yet.
Tell me the process. What happens when you have an idea, you have a thought, I have to do that?
That's the way it starts.
You have a composer, you sit down in a cafe with your friends, and I have a brilliant idea.
Right.
What happens from that moment on?
It does start with me, which is very unusual. Today, everything goes to these corporate producers finished, which means that you put too much authority in someone else's hands. And West Side Story, mind you, was unusual. That was a show brought to me, and we went with it fast. But the average show, many of them start with a book I've read or an idea I have.
Yep.
Or, you know, let's take the show I have running, the longest show ever for me, is Andrew Lloyd Webber's
The Phantom.
Phantom of the Opera. I was sitting in a restaurant, talk about coffee, and he was sitting over there. We had done Evita some years earlier. And he said, come have your coffee with me. And I went and had coffee with him and his wife. And he said, I've been thinking there's a musical in Phantom of the Opera. Do you know the... I said, I know the film, the silent film.
Yes.
And I saw one of the talkies. I didn't hesitate. I said, let's do it. And then he said, wow, why do you want to do it? I'll tell you why. I said, it's very simple. There is no romance. There is no real romance in the musical theater anymore. I mean, the whole history of operetta is romance.
Absolutely.
My Fair Lady was a romantic musical. It never got any further than him saying, Liza, bring me my slippers. But you felt like he had just embraced her. Certainly, South Pacific was a romantic musical.
Yes.
I went to the opening night of South Pacific with the Rogers family. And I knew then and there that that was the most romantic I would ever feel in a theater. Well, it just turns out that though he didn't see it, Andrew, who's many years younger, thinks it's the most romantic musical he ever heard. So we started there, and we created over a period of a couple of years in the 80s, middle 80s.
So it took a couple of years to develop
it took a couple of years, and then opened in London, and it's now 18 years old, 20 years in London. In January, we become the longest-running American show, play anything, ever. It's still at doing. There was a period when it was about 12 and 14 years old when the capacity was down to about 70%. It's now doing 101% capacity. No one understands why. I think it may be in part answered by 9/11. I think there is a huge desire to lose yourself in another place, like a child with a book. You want to say, I all my problems are out there on the street. And that should not compromise the quality of the material you do.
Indeed.
You don't have to compromise to be romantic and have an atmosphere that's unusual.
So when you have the idea, you have the script, you have the music, you have the money.
You cast each one of those assignments. You put together the composer, lyricist, or you introduce the composer and the lyricist.
So you bring these guys together.
For the first time, yes.
And just drip oil into the machinery.
You have to. Now, what that means is, though you have to find the money, you cannot be a merchant. Mm-hmm. You have to have some part of you that has taste and wants to be an artist. You may not be able to direct. You may not
Absolutely.
Be able to,
if you have
but
to,
you have to
make
feel
compromises those. All the time.
And that was the tradition. It's no longer the tradition.
I see. How long does a rehearsal period last?
If the good old Walter Felsenstein were alive, he would tell you 6 months. It took him 6 months rehearsal to do Fiddler on the Roof, which we did in 8 weeks.
Wow.
But most of my shows I do in 5 weeks. And Fiddler on the Roof, I'm an impatient person. I prepare and prepare and prepare.
And then when you start,
and when I start,
they all know
quickly.
The lines, they all know the...
Well, no, they have to learn them, but I know more or less. I can't say he's going to go left, she's going to go right, but I can see it all. There's a huge model this high, and I have all the scenery on it. my career, I've gotten very few good reviews, but I've gotten many controversial reviews. So you say, I mean, if you want to see an amazing and energetic and stimulating musical about people chopping up people and eating them, go see Sweeney Todd.
Sweeney Todd.
And they do. And it's a hit.
Actually, Sweeney Todd is, again, something like West Side Story used to be at that time.
Yes.
So revolutionary as far as the music is concerned.
I think it's Sondheim's most successful musical.
It's fantastic.
And,
by the way,
you know, here we go. You always have to end up talking money when you talk quality. They had the fortitude, the producers, to put up the money because it wasn't cheap for that show. And it took 11 years to pay back its investment.
Whew.
But it did.
Patience. Tell me, do you think that a Hungarian idea, a Hungarian thought, would have a chance ever on Broadway again? Have you seen anything on Hungarian stages?
I saw the Sárdásfürsten at the Operetten Theater when I was here the first time, and I loved it. And then when I went to Vienna to work, because I worked a lot in Vienna, at the Theatrán de Wien, when Ralph Kutura ran it, and Peter Veck. But with Ralph Kutura, I had a very good relationship, and I worked with Almashi. You know,
yes.
Susanna. I fell in love with all the Volksoperette material.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Some of them are magnificent. Some of them are not so good. But there's good music in dozens of them.
Absolutely.
It's just wonderful. You cannot do, though I tried, and wish they had agreed, I tried to encourage the New York City Opera to do Peter Kalmar's version, an operetta. I know their audience would love it, but they're snobbish. And they're snobbish because they don't understand what their audience would like. They would love it. Some of the success of Phantom of the Opera is that it has a musical glamour.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That I feel. I started to tell you, when I came from Budapest to Vienna and then spent more time in Vienna, one night I was in bed at the soccer, and the phone rang, and a voice, an actor I knew, Heltau. You know Michael Heltau? He's a big star in Austria. Said, I'm sitting here with a lady who wants to meet you. And I said, who's that? He said, Vera Kalman. And I said, well, I'm in bed, and she can't come up here. I'm going to sleep. He said, hold on. I'll make you a bet you get dressed and come downstairs. So he put her on the phone, and it was like talking to all of the Gabor sisters once.
Actually, I knew her.
Of course.
She was
seductive. She was gorgeous.
So beautiful.
Well, guess what? I shaved. I got dressed, and I went down to the Rote Bar. And then she said, now we're going somewhere else. I said, I'm much too old for this. And she said, no, you're coming. And we went off to another place. And finally I said, I have rehearsals tomorrow morning. And then that was it. And I heard from her. I also knew Enzi Stoltz.
Sure, yes.
I knew all the widows of all those operetta.
What is the purpose of your visit now in Budapest?
I've been wanting to come forever. I have a friend here, Peter Kalmar, whom I met some years ago when, I don't know how I got to see Singing in the Rain, but he got me the information that he had done it, and it is written by one of my dearest friends, a Hungarian, Adolf Green.
Wow.
And Adolf died the year before last, but so I went to see Singing in the Rain. And I called Adolf and said, well, now I've finally seen it on the stage the way it should be done. This fellow knows.
Great.
And I wish you could see it. I think you brought up some interesting points, by the way. My biggest frustration you didn't ask me, but I'm going to say,
go on.
As the American musical clearly has been so influential or popular,
yes,
in Europe, Middle Europe, England, elsewhere, it's high time that you fed us back what we need to move on with the musical.
Indeed.
Because obviously the British did for those 10 years, obviously Fiddler on the Roof and Les Mis and Cats helped a generation of Americans look at musicals differently.
Indeed.
Now, I personally think that's over too. I think now it would be spectacular if what we've been talking about, these cultures and this musical culture, came back for Americans. They don't know it. You have to know, I was a kid. I was a very young man when I went to see Reinhardt's production called Rosalinda, which played in the Majestic Theater where Phantom is, and was a great success. And it was my introduction to Rosalinda, which is what he called the American version of Fledermaus. And it was a huge success. And no one knew, what is this? What tradition is this? What is this? Now, nothing like that until Kismet, where they brought Borodin.
Yes,
and said, listen to this. This doesn't sound like Rodgers and Hammerstein or Irving Berlin. And it was huge.
That's great. I thank you really very much.
It's a real pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, lucky stars, I can't sing. But I hope some of you can understand my language, because unfortunately, here we go. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead. First of all, I said, I'm sorry I don't speak your language, but I've only had a couple of days to learn. I speak not just for my wife Judy, but our friend Penny Soames, but over a long and very interesting lifetime with lots of traveling involved and meeting lots of people who love musical theater.
Szóval nem csak a saját nevében beszélem, a Judy és a Ken Soames nevében is, bejárta a világot, nagyon sok felé járt már.
Am I ready? I have to say, one of the great things about working in this trade
a legjobb dolog ebben az üzletben dolgozva
is that it really is one big happy family.
Ezt ugye értitek, egy nagy boldog közös család.
You are extraordinary. This fellow whom I've known for a number of years and whose wife I just met two nights ago are good friends. He's extraordinarily talented, and he has made it possible. No, you don't translate. The point is, seriously, I meeting so many incredibly talented people in such a small space of time.
Olyan sok tehetséges emberrel találkozott ilyen rövid idő alatt
is a huge privilege.
Hogy ez egy fantasztikus privilégium.
This is my fourth visit to Budapest. It's our second visit.
Negyedszer vagyunk Budapesten, a feleségeddel már másodszor.
But it's not our last visit, I promise you.
De nem utoljára, megígérem.
Bravo!
Egy kis csekészséggel, kisfiam! Ilyen az ifjú pár! Soba kérem!
És ez még nem minden.
Családot ugyan nem választhat, de spórolhatsz velük. Minden családtag minden hónapban 1000 forint kedvezményt kap előfizetési díjából. Kérjétek a családi ajánlatot az üzletekben vagy a 1270-en. Vodafone. Egyre többet adunk.
Egy hajápoló. Legyen kellemes.
Egy hajápoló legyen egészséges. Ezért használom a Revalidot.
Én is azt használom, mert az illata finom, érintése kényeztet.
A magas minőségű természetes hatóanyagok viszont ápolják és megnyugtatják fejbőrömet, élettel telítik és védik hajszálaimat.
Mert a szépséghez
érteni kell. Revalid, a hajszépség tudománya. A Revalid forgalmazója a Teva Magyarország ZRT.
Rokonok házat vettek vidéken, szomszédban kutyatenyésztővel. Oda is ment hozzájuk egyből megnyugtatni őket, hogy a husky az nem ugat. Nem, a husky az nyűszi. Minden este azért imádkoznak, hogy reggel időben kapjanak a dögök kaját, különben egyszerre 20-an éneklik azt a számot, hogy...
Legalább a hitel miatt nyugodt lehet. OTP lakáshitelek díjelengedési akcióval. Sőt, most a bank fizeti a munkanélküliségre szóló törlesztési biztosítást. A költözés többé nem duma. Részletes feltételek otpbank.hu.
Immunrendszerünk lenyűgözően hasonlít a természetre. Kérés nélkül teszi a dolgát. Véd, ellenáll. De hatékony működéséhez gondoskodásra van szüksége, hogy képes legyen felvenni a harcot a betegségekkel. Ezt ismerte fel dr. Béres József, és ezért alkotta meg a Béres cseppet, mely immunrendszerünk támogatásával erősíti szervezetünket. Béres csepp, az immunrendszer természetes támogatója. A kockázatokról és mellékhatásokról olvass el a betegtájékoztatót, vagy kérdezze meg kezelőorvosát, gyógyszerészét.
Fizetésemet forintban kapom. A boltban forinttal fizetek. A lakáshitelemet is inkább forintban venném fel, ha lenne egy jó ajánlat.
Az AXA-nál van. 8,95%-os forinthitel kamat. Hazai, jelzálog alapú lakáshitel az AXA-tól. Az éves kamat az első évben fix 8,95%. A kamat alakulása az első évet követően is átlátható, mert a hazai bankközi kamatlábhoz igazodik. Hitelek másképp. AXA. Másképp, mint mások.
Amikor a torokfájás miatt háttérbe szorul, segít a Strepsils. Nem csak gyorsan enyhíti a fájdalmat, hogy ön ismét önmaga lehessen, de hatóanyagai akkor is hatnak a torokban, miután a tabletta elolvad. Strepsils. Első segély, ha torkának ad a fájdalom. A kockázatokról és mellékhatásokról olvass el a betegtájékoztatót, vagy kérdezze meg kezelőorvosát, gyógyszerészét.
Gondozásra váró pszichiátria. 80 ezer skizofrén beteg. Az elmegyógyintézetek működése Magyarországon.
A legnagyobb szakmai vesztesége az országos intézet bezárásának. Azok a szakmai műhelyek és tímek, azok egyszerűen szétestek.
Prizma. Ma délután az M1-en.
Divat, életmód, sport?
Az természetes.
És legyenek benne érdekes emberek?
És zene. Zene mindenképpen kell.
Új ígéretes tehetségek.
És ismertek, akiket szeretünk.
Játék?
Péntekenként meglepő nyereményekkel.
Filmcínház? Hétfőtől péntekig minden, ami érdekes.
Egy hétig velem.
Egy hétig velem.
6 órai tea.
Töltsünk velünk egy csészével.
6 órai tea. Minden hétköznap az M1-en.
Felejtsd el, valamit nem felejtek.
Mit üdvözlő?
Egyik este beugorhatni.
Jó lenne.
Mi lehet fontosabb a meghallgatásnál?
Tudni, hogy ki vagyok.
Az össze a hugottad. Mi baszolna hozzám? Nem szereted a zsarukat?
Pontosan, rüellem őket. Ne is hívd többet, ennyi volt.
Párizsi jó barátok. A sorozat folytatódik. Ma este az M1-en.
Elvitték Orlandot. Tiltott kutyaviadalokat szervezett.
Nagyon furcsa ember volt, és furcsán is halt meg.
Egyetlen csepp vizet sem találtak a tüdejében.
Mit műveltél Orlandóval, te rohadt állat?
Montalbano felügyelő. Ma este az M1-en.
Hölgyeim és uraim, köszöntöm Önöket! Nagy megtiszteltetés számomra, hogy itt állhatok a vörös szőnyegen. Egy olyan szőnyegen, amelyen valódi sztárok méltán vonulhatnak végig. Hamarosan megérkeznek vendégeink, akik munkásságukkal maradandót alkotnak. Most eljött a várva várt alkalom, hogy igazán megismerjük őket. Tartsanak velem!
Társág Gundel Takács Gáborral. Ma este az M1-en. életük nagy kalandjára készültek.
Isten hozta önöket.
Ami egy szempillantás alatt.
Megugalni.
Rémálommá változott.
Azt akarja mondani, hogy nincs gyógyszerük.
Mi történt?
Ömlik a vér. Nagyon súlyos sérültjeim vannak. Hányszor mondjam még?
Hogy visszünk haza őket?
A mexikóiak nem adnak repülési engedélyt.
Most viccel?
A betegeinknek kórházi ápolás kell.
Ápolónők Mexikóban. Ma este az M1-en.